Father, we just want to give you thanksgiving and praise and honor for the presence of the Lord that is so clear in this service today. And Father, we magnify you and praise you for all that you're doing in our nation, all that you're doing in us, the nations that are watching us. And we praise you and honor you for the time that we are in right now. And Lord, we receive this word. We receive, Father, all that you have for us in your word. And today we magnify you. Father, I thank you that as the pastor of this church, I receive revelation right now on the level of a prophet because of my connection to the prophet. And I thank you for the presence of the Lord that is in this place in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. I want you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we're continuing to talk about healing. Healing. It was on the New Year's Eve service that Brother Copeland delivered a word from the Lord. And a portion of that word said this: you keep ringing the dinner bell of healing and I will draw the people. This building and other church buildings won't hold the people. But you can't just sit here inside this place and beg for miracles. I'm going to require you to walk by faith. I'm going to require you to get healed on your own faith. Most of the people in my ministry got healed on their own faith. Be it done unto you as you have believed. Daughter, thy faith has made you whole. When I was going through this word, the Lord really arrested me on this statement that he made. I'm going to require you to walk by faith. Require. What a powerful word require is. It is a demand. It's a demand from heaven for us to do something. And he said, I'm going to require you to get healed on your own faith. And so understanding this fact that each and every one of us here and those that are watching, we are at different levels of faith. But the Lord wants us to develop our faith. He wants our faith to come up to a higher place, a stronger place in him. And so I really took seriously that word that the Lord gave to Brother Copeland about this. I'm going to require you to walk by faith. I'm going to require you to get healed on your own faith. And so today we're going to delve further into this. We talked a little bit about it last week. And the assignment is the developing of our faith. It's learning how to reap an abundant harvest of healing. You can reap an abundant harvest of healing. And so let's go through a couple of things that we started last week in 1 John chapter 5 and looking at verse 14 and 15, it says this: and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Faith for our healing begins with knowing God's word concerning healing. And we need to say something here that's very important. God's word is his will. It is his will. And we find from scripture that when you understand the will of God or the word of God, you can easily take and claim what rightfully belongs to you. So the scripture says this is the confidence that we have in him. It's good to be able to go before the Lord with a sense of confidence, because when you go before him with his word, therein lies your confidence. Confidence in the word of God. This is the confidence, or I believe the Amplified translation says the boldness that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, or you could say there, ask anything according to his word, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, what? According to his will or according to his word, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. I'll make this statement and put it up on the screen. The most basic key to receiving our healing is knowing that healing is unquestionably the word of will of God for our lives. That is the most basic key of this. This is really a starting point in the development of your faith, in the development of your faith for healing or really anything else. The basic key here is knowing that healing is unquestionably the will of God for our lives. It is the will of God for us to be healed, for us to be well. Now, this second statement I'll make here, we'll put it up on the screen. Faith begins where the will of God is known. That's where it starts. Faith begins when you know, when you have that confidence that the Word of God says this about me. And it's true. So your faith begins where the will of God is known. And also faith stops at the question mark. Whenever there's a question, whenever there's a question where healing is concerned, is it the will of God for me to be healed? Is it the will of God for me to live that abundant life on the inside of me? And when there's a question mark about that, then your faith begins to stop. Because there's no question on God's part. He is eager to see us walking in a place of divine health. He desires that for your life. Say, it is the will of God for me to be healed. Everything within the human body is under the covenant with God. There is nothing left out of that. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We may have insurance policies that cover, like a homeowner's policy, but in so many of these homeowner policies, if something breaks down, if you walk within 6 feet of it, it's null and void. But the Word of God and the covenant, which the Word is the covenant that we have with Him, it covers it. It covers whatever you are dealing with right now. Whatever is going on in your body, whatever is going on in your family, this covenant that we have, it covers it. And that's why it's so important to know foundationally that it is the will of God for you to be healed. So again, say this after me. It is the will of God for me to be healed. Receive that healing by faith in Jesus' name. We must no longer use the faith-destroying phrase, if it be thy will, where healing is concerned. Don't use that. That doesn't apply. If it be thy will. So many of us, I'll use myself as an example, grew up with teaching like that. If it's the will of God for you to be well, you'll be well. And you know, sometimes God will put things on you to teach you a lesson. Sometimes God will get you into a hospital so maybe you can witness to this guy. No, you should be able to walk into a hospital to witness and not be carried in. So there is no question about it. And I do remember growing up in the Northeast, when I first got saved, there was question about that. And I really did seek the Lord about it and was seeking understanding concerning that. And there always seemed to be a question mark where that was concerned. The healing. He heals some, but He doesn't heal others. Well, that doesn't sound like my God to me. That doesn't sound like a love God to me. It says Jesus healed them all. And I'm one of the all. Say, I'm one of the all. Jesus heals and healed in His ministry. So we must no longer use the faith-destroying phrase, if it be thy will, where your healing is concerned. No, that question is already answered. It is His will. It is His passion. It is His desire. And it would be wrong to say that of Him. It would be wrong to accuse Him. For if God did put sickness on you, that would be illegal. That would be wrong. And He doesn't have it to put on you. So we have to have some basic understanding about this, that it's so clear, it is so crystal clear in our minds that it is the will of God for everyone in this room and the will of God for everybody watching right now to be healed by His power. And isn't it a wonderful thing to know? Isn't that a good thing to know? We talked about several scriptures last week that healing comes from God. It's part of our redemption. Healing comes from God. It is part of our redemption. It's part of your redemption. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed from that curse. And that curse includes sickness and disease, infirmity of any kind whatsoever. We have been redeemed from that. And the scriptures that we looked at, why don't you write these down? We don't have to turn to them because I've got some other things we're going to, but we looked at some of these scriptures, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely He has borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Say, that's mine. That belongs to me. I'm standing on that right now. It is the Word of God. It is the will of God. We looked at Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Remember last week we talked about the word benefits. In the Hebrew, it's the word treatments. Treatments. Forget not all of His treatments. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. We looked at Psalm 107:20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent the Word of God into your life. He sent the will of God into your life. And the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, is the discerner and of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is alive. Yes. It's alive. And when you speak that word over yourself, that word carries within it the seed and the power of God to heal. And to bring our bodies under the authority of the Word of God. To make demand on this physical body. In 1 Peter 2:24, we read, who His own self bore our sins on his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Past tense. We were healed. We were healed. And I'll share this phrase with you. I learned this from Brother Copeland many years ago, that we are not the sick trying to get healed. We are the healed. And the devil is trying to steal our health from us. Say, I am the healed. I'm a blood-bought child of God. And because of that, I am healed now. I take it. I receive it. In Jesus' name. Now, one of the things we need to understand as well concerning this, that not only does healing come from God, but we need to know and understand very basically that sickness comes from the devil. He is the author, the source of the curse. Sickness comes from Satan. He is the source of the curse. And we have to have clear understanding of that. And there are several scriptures. Let me read these scriptures to you. And you can write them down. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. We're talking right now about the fact that sickness comes from the devil. It said here, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The devil is the one that brings oppression into our lives, which includes the sickness and the disease. He is the one who is responsible for that. And so we have to see here that that comes from him. Healing comes from God. that sickness comes from the devil. In Luke 13:16, it says, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Jesus is demonstrating the will of God right here. First of all, it says that Satan has bound. God had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. He is the author and the deliverer of us and for us. Satan is the one that bound this woman. And Jesus was saying, should she not be loosed? Being a daughter of Abraham, being a covenant woman, should she not be loosed this day? Well, we have to believe that and take that and receive it. In John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said this, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The life of Jesus should be made manifest in our flesh. The life of Jesus himself. Say this after me. The life of Jesus, is being made manifest in my flesh right now. Whatever does not belong there has to go in Jesus' name. See, that's where we're taking our authority. We are taking the authority that has been given to us by the authority of God over the physical body. And to claim that and to receive that. You have all the confidence in the world knowing these things to be able to stand on your faith and claim it and receive it and believe it. This one in 1 John 3:8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That further goes to the demonstrating of the will of God, that Jesus was the will of God manifested on earth. And all he did was heal people. All he did was destroy the works of the devil. So we have to have that clear in our minds. I know that some of you have heard this before, but you know what? Faith for healing comes by hearing about the word of healing. And hearing by the word of God. We've got to hear it again and again and again. And I'm reminding you today, it's good to be reminded. It's good to get a refresher in these things and to understand that, because oftentimes we can let these things slip. We can let them go. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in a position where you've let that go and you really need to get back to some of the basics that we have been taught and understand about this. So it is unquestionably the will of God for you to be healed right now. Right now. And it would not hurt you to spend time thinking about that one fact. That one fact, that it is God's will for me to be healed. Jesus paid the ultimate price on the cross and in the pit of hell. By his stripes, we've been made whole. And he defeated sickness and disease and poverty and lack in the pit of hell. And when he was raised up, we were raised up with him to be seated in heavenly places. And we're in that place of authority right now and dominion right now. And as we learn more how to develop our faith, that we will see the results take place in the physical body. I want you to turn to James, the first chapter. James, the first chapter, where healing is concerned and the development of your faith for healing. We have to be single-minded. We've got to be focused. When you're dealing with an issue that may be in your body, an alarming symptom, it's going to take focus on the word of God. It's going to take focus on the things that Jesus has said and done to be able to get above the worry and the concern and the care and the fear of it. It's a battle. It is a battle that each one of us have dealt with, each one of us have experienced before. But I'll tell you, the more you walk on this and the more you exercise your faith towards this, you will see changes that will take place in your body. You will experience what I call age reversal. Age reversal. Your youth will be renewed like the eagles. Say, my youth is being renewed like the eagles. But we have to be focused. There has to be a focus. When you're dealing with issues like this, you need to be listening to the Word of God every opportunity that you have. You need to be playing it at night, playing it in the morning. You need to be setting aside whatever it is, television, other things that are distracting, and focus in on what is true about you. And dig into that. And in the book of James, in chapter 1, verse 5, it says this: if any of you lack wisdom. Wisdom about what? Wisdom about the issue that you are dealing with the most. If it happens to be healing, we're looking for wisdom in that, to know exactly and precisely how to do and how to walk this thing out to victory. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. The Amplified Bible says, no hesitation, no doubting. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So we look back at that scripture in verse 6, and where it says, but let him ask in faith. It says, he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Well, if you turn that around, he that is focused on the Word of God, he that is so dedicated to the Word, he's no longer like that wave of the sea. He's not driven, but he's led by the Spirit. He's guided by the Spirit. You know, it was a number of years ago that my dad called me on the phone. And he said, George, he said, I've been given a very bad report from the doctor. He says, I've got liver cancer. And he said, they're only giving me about 6 months to live. What do I do? What do I do? So I said, Dad, let me pray about this. I know the Lord has the answer. So what I did was I took time to ask the wisdom of God to know how to approach this, how to handle this. And so I called him, and the next day I called him and I said, Dad, here's what we're going to do. I said, I want you to look up a few scriptures about the healing power of God and let me know what those scriptures are, and we'll begin to work this strategy together. He said, okay. Well, back then, this was so long ago, he sent it to me by fax, and I walked into my office at home and there were papers all over the floor. He had sent me scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Let's really focus on this and see what the Lord would have us to do. And there was one, I said, you need to choose that one scripture that really speaks to you. And so he did. And when he did, he sent it to me and he said, George, let me explain to you why this scripture means so much to me. He was back when he was growing up in high school, he started smoking. He smoked all the way through school, high school, in the late 30s and in the 40s. Everybody smoked. If you look at magazines from that era, all of these movie stars are smoking. If you look at movies, I saw a movie the other day. We're going through the channels and Humphrey Bogart was there and he's lighting up a cigarette. And he died from cancer, throat cancer. And I'm like shouting at the TV, don't do it. Put it down. So my dad was struggling with the guilt. And he was an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic all through. He started drinking when he was in his late teens, 19, 20 years old, and then drank all the way through the 50s. And I'm so glad that in 1963, he quit cold turkey. Our family was going through really tough times. My mother they were on the verge of divorce. I came home for summer camp in 1963 and Dad was gone. I said, where's Dad? Well, he's living someplace else right now. It was weird. It was really weird. And I remember going to see him. He was staying in a little cabin. I remember going to visit my dad. And he took me to a movie and we had pizza and then he took me back home. It was just a strange time. And my dad knew that if he kept going in that direction of alcohol, his family was just going to come apart. And he quit. He quit. And then where smoking was concerned, he kept smoking until October the 21st, 1979. October 21st, 1979 was the day that Jeremy was born. And he made a decision that morning that he was going to quit and he wanted to see his grandson grow up. And I'm thankful for that. But all of those years, he was smoking, he was drinking, living that kind of a lifestyle. So in your mind, you're thinking to yourself, I deserve this. I deserve this. At least that's what he was thinking. And we came upon this scripture. It's the 107th Psalm. Turn over there and take a look. The 107th Psalm. And verse 17, and we found this scripture. And it says in verse 17 of the 107th Psalm, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Wow. If that's not a picture of Dad, I mean, he self-admittedly, he was a fool for what he was doing. Thank God that he quit. He quit doing those things. But you wonder in your mind, is it too late? Have I gone so far? Have I ruined my opportunities? Well, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. And that's where he was. He was drawing near, if you will, to the gates of death. So we read this scripture further. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So here we go. We roll up our face sleeves. Come on, Pop, let's go. Let's do this thing. And so I began to call him on the phone every day. I'm in Texas. He's in Massachusetts. I'm calling him every day. Every day, we're declaring this scripture. Every day, we're looking at verse 20. He sent his word and healed him. And I like what my dad said. He saw something in that word. Delivered them. Delivered. He was delivered. From their destructions. So the time period was 6 months. Clock is ticking and we're confessing. We're believing God. We're fighting the good fight of faith together. That's the great thing about doing this together. We fight that good fight of faith. It's so important. We were coming into agreement with him over his life and his health. So 3 months go by and we're confessing and declaring this word. 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9, 10, a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, on and on and on. And when my father passed away, there was no sign of liver cancer in his body. Praise God. I sent them messages from Kenneth and Gloria. Back then, we didn't have internet. We didn't have communications like that. So I would send them every cassette tape of a service that we would have. Every service that we had, we'd send it to him and he'd listen. Because he came to me, he said, George, what do I do? How do I handle this? And we went to the Word of God. The Word of God, which was the will of God for him. And I taught him how to stand on the Word. How to take a word from God, stand on it, and walk it out to victory in his life. And we worked together on that. And we were diligent with it. We kept focused. We kept him focused. We kept him on the Word of God. I sent him things from Kenneth and Gloria. He would listen to those messages. And even to this day, I have his Bible. in the scriptures that he highlighted and the things that he underlined. And you can go to this scripture in his Bible and there it is, highlighted. Well, he was standing on that. He was focused on that. And I had to get over to him that it was the will of God for him to be healed. Because there were voices around him. There were people talking to him. Well, and really, we really didn't tell a whole lot of people. We kept it close to us. He was only talking really to people that were standing in faith with him, primarily me, Pastor Terry, our family, our home, and staying in touch with him about it. But I, those days were going by, and whenever that cloud would try to come in over him and think about dying, think about struggling with that, we just brought him back around again. The same thing that happened when Jesus was going to Jairus' house, and they came to him and said, "Your daughter is dead." And Jesus said, "Ignore them. Look at me. Look at me. She will live and not die." Well, that's what you have to do. You've got to be so focused on this. You have to get your scriptures, first of all. And Brother Hagin talks about finding three scriptures to stand on. Three scriptures that you take that speak to you, that talk to you about this, whether it's dealing with healing or finances or whatever, that there has to be a word that you are standing on and believing God for, because that's the foundation of this. Without it, you're on your own. You're on your own. And I am so grateful that my father lived a long and prosperous life. And that's what you have to do. You have to be focused. And that's what the scripture over here in James is talking to us about. It's talking about being focused. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Father, I bring my word before you today. And this word that I'm standing on. And by faith, I receive my healing in the name of Jesus. And I shall not waver from that. I shall not doubt. I do not doubt you. And it says here, let not that man think that he'll receive anything of the Lord. But when you're focused on the word of God, you will receive of the Lord. You will. And it says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A single-minded individual on the word of God is stable and fixed and unmoved in his ways. You become, turn to the 112th Psalm. The more you do this and the more you lock into this, it will begin to affect every area of your life. Listening to the word. I've been listening to Brother Hagin, messages on healing from Brother Hagin. I enjoy his teaching. I enjoy the line by line teaching that he does. So I've been listening to messages by him. Specifically that one on most important things you can do about your healing. And there's another one that I've been listening to. Anybody that wants extra credit. There's another one that I've been listening to. Does God heal everyone? Does God heal everyone? So I've been listening to that one as well. What am I doing? I'm feeding my spirit. The word of God is life to your flesh. And that word has the power within it to heal the human body when it is deposited into the spirit of man, because healing begins in the spirit first. It starts there. You've got to feed the spirit of man. The strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain and injury, but a broken spirit, who can raise up and bear? So you begin to develop your spirit. You get your spirit stronger and stronger and stronger. As we said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Faith for healing comes by hearing the word of healing and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it until it flushes out all of the doubt in your mind. It takes out the voices that are trying to tell you you're not going to make it, the flashing lights, you're not going to make it. And the more you hear it and the more you get it down on the inside, the more alive it becomes to you. And you have to get to a place where you see that on the inside. If you can see it, you can have it. It's yours. It's yours. And God is really looking for a people who will put him to the test on this, who will truly take that word and stand on it and then hold fast to it, because the devil will try to come and steal it from you. You've got to hold fast, hold on to what you have. Take it, deposit that down on the inside, and get it to where, like I said before, it flushes out the doubt. It flushes out the voices. It flushes out, it literally flushes out the whole system of the human body. That's what the Word of God will do. And it's His will. It is His will for you to be healed and well and whole in Jesus' name. In the 112th Psalm, this is a result of feeding on the word for what we're talking about today, feeding on the word of healing. This is a result of that. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man. This is the 112th Psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. In other words, he loves the word of God. He eats that word. He digests that word. That word is going into him all the time, all the time. I've got messages on my phone. I've got messages in my car. We listen to it at night. Continually feeding on the Word of God. And the more you feed on that Word, the image of health begins to paint its picture on the inside. And you move from the realm of the mind into the realm of operating out of your spirit. And you get your words in line. You get your words in line. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John 1 says, your words become flesh. It's so important. It's so important. There is a message that I have that's coming soon to your church. By your words. By your words, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so we have to correct our words, because when we speak words over ourselves, for instance, if you're saying to yourself, I'm stupid, I'm stupid, I'm stupid, I'm stupid, I'm stupid, you need to stop that right away, because what's happening? You're becoming stupid. My mother, I would have to help my mother with this. She'd say to herself, I'm stupid, stupid, stupid. I'd have to literally take her hand from beating her head and say, you are not stupid. You have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. We are not going the Alzheimer's way. We have to take authority over that. We have to. We have to turn that thing around. And each one of us are responsible within our own lives to walk in faith and take authority over our bodies, our spirit, and our mind. The devil is not taking my mind. I'm getting smarter by the day. I remember things. I have a good memory. I can walk the walk of faith and see the results. I speak to my mind in the name of Jesus. Mind, brains, you line up with the Word of God. If Adam could name all of the animals and the creatures, well, certainly I've been given a memory, and I've been given a mind and a brain that is to function on the God level. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. So you talk to yourself. You have to do like David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He built himself up in the Word. And another way you do it, you pray in tongues. Praying in tongues gets you on over into the Spirit, in the Spirit realm. And when you do that, it says here in the 112th Psalm, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. And as a result of that, or you could really say here, blessed is the man that fears the Lord, honors the Lord, and loves to declare the Word of God and be obedient to that Word. The result is his seed will be mighty upon the earth. Our children, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there rises light in the darkness. He's gracious, full of compassion and righteous. A good man shows favor and he lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Now here it is right here. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees desire upon his enemies. That's the place that we're looking at. Our heart, the established heart. You establish your heart in the Word. You get such a foundation of that Word on the inside that nothing can touch you. Nothing can touch you. You get to the place where you can go on a commercial air flight and there can be people coughing and sneezing all around you. And when that virus tries to come near you, it dies. It falls to the ground. You are a production factory of the glory of God. And no evil or calamity can come near my dwelling. Say, I'm healed.
I'm healed.
I'm whole.
I'm whole.
My children are whole.
My children are whole.
Strong in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I thought about this sitting up here today. This age reversal. I'm fascinated with that. I'm just fascinated with it. Because I really believe the Lord wants us to prove some things. And that the older we get, the stronger we become. That and age just doesn't show up. It doesn't show. People will look at you and go, "How old are you?" I'm 103 next week. Wow. That's really something. That's really something. There's an island off of Italy where I think the average age of the people on that island, they're about 95. That's the average age on that island. And I believe that the Lord wants us to pursue that and keep going for that. When you release your faith for long life, strong life, then that release of faith has every effect on where you are right now and where you are headed. I'll just read this to you because we're going to take communion over this. In Psalm 103, verse 5, my youth is renewed like the eagles. I say that over myself. My youth is renewed like the eagles. He fills my mouth with good things. And my youth is renewed like the eagles. And I do. I confess that over myself. I declare that over myself. I declare over myself where it talks about I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and I'm getting stronger by the day. I'm getting stronger by the day. It's talking here about my youth being renewed like the eagles. Then I went over to Isaiah 40 in verse 31. It talks about when you wait on the Lord, your strength will be renewed. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and you will not faint. And I'll read this scripture to you. Psalm 92, 12 through 15. I was reading this yesterday. In the Amplified Translation, it says this: the uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Musicians, come on up. Will flourish like the palm tree. They'll be long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic, stable, durable, incorruptible. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap. They'll be full of sap, of spiritual vitality, and rich in the verdure of trust, love, and commitment. Verdure. I got verdure. Then I had to look it up. Vigor is a condition of health and vigor. So that's me. That's me. They are living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to His promises. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. It is the will of God for you to be healed and whole. And we're going to receive communion. We're going to settle this before the Lord. Oh, there's more. There's more to talk about. But we're fulfilling the assignment that the Lord has given us, requiring us to walk by faith. It's a requirement. Requirement for us to believe God for our healing. A requirement. So I declare that over you today. In the name of Jesus, the healing power of God is beginning to flow in this place.